Stuart, are you always this organized, Tom? Is he? We are going to have 1.5 minute of this, 30 seconds of this, and you follow through on what you say, right? If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm 27. Just make hold your spot there. It is beyond a privilege to be here with you all tonight. Tom talked a lot about prayer, and so I would love to pray again. As I was driving up, I just turned off the radio and I just began praying and crying out to the Lord, praying for the Holy Spirit to fill me, praying for the Holy Spirit to fill this place, praying for those who would come tonight, that we would just experience the Lord, we would meet with Him, and we would leave here tonight closer to Him than when we came. Does that sound good? How many of you would like that? How many of you would just like to leave here refreshed and renewed? And the cool thing about it is it has nothing to do with me, Pastor Tom, or what takes place on stage, but it has everything to do with our Creator. And when we step aside and we say, here we are, Lord, you have your way, He will do cool things in our life. So let's pray that, okay? Father, we pray and we ask that Holy Spirit, you are the one who brings conviction into our lives. You are the one that leads and guides us. You are the comforter, your word says. You are the helper. We beseech you to fall afresh on us tonight. We sing in songs, Holy Spirit, come. We sing we want more of the Holy Spirit. We say we want to be filled by the Holy Spirit. But tonight, Lord, we mean that from the depths of our hearts. Would you fill me, God? Would you anoint me, Lord, just to bring forth the things that you've put on my heart? Would you fill and anoint this body? Would you begin a work already, Lord, in our sort of reflection time and worship and prayer time at the end? Would you start that work even now in our hearts? Protect this place, Lord. We know when you are working and moving and when the Holy Spirit is active, and we know that Satan is just trying to do everything he can, maybe even right now, Lord. Maybe the people are coming heavy-hearted, discouraged, distracted. Whatever that might be, whatever that might look like, Lord, remove that, so that we could experience your fullness here tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. How many of you were here in December when my family and I were here? Raise your hand. Okay, I should have said, how many of you were not here in December? Okay, so a few. I want to just give a little recap. My name is Jason Sanchez. I want to be like Tom Blumberg when I get older. I really mean that. He is a dear brother, a friend, a father figure. Fluent in Spanish. It's amazing. It's incredible how gifted he is in that, speaking Spanish. You are blessed to have him as a pastor. He loves you all, and he loves Jesus. He and his wife have just played a vital role in my life when I was single, when I was going through difficulties, and now in my wife's and my life, and now our daughter, they've sort of seen us in me as a single, individual, and then as married, and then as we adopted our little girl. For those of you, I have a picture. They couldn't be here tonight. They're actually in Mexico. That's the property. There they are. That was for our VBS. It was a cowboy theme. And so my daughter wants to be like Jessie on Toy Story. You know that gal? So she named our dog Jessie Girl. Everything has to do with Jessie. And she's saving her pesos to go to Disneyland to meet Jessie. In fact, she said, Daddy, when are we going to Disneyland? And she goes, can we go on Friday? And I said, well, sweetie, we need some time. And she said, okay, when you get back. Said, you're going to need a little more than a few pesos to go to Disneyland. So that is my wife, Jackie. We've been married for, it will have been 8 years next month. Just real briefly, we have not been able to get pregnant biologically. No other reason other than the Lord. There's no medical reason. There's no problems or anything. But God chose to close my wife's womb because he wanted us to adopt this little girl. She was born, and 2 days later, she was found naked and abandoned in a road in Ethiopia. And she was taken to an orphanage. And so the Lord saved her for us to be her parents. And she is the biggest blessing and gift. And she is full of life. She's full of Jesus. She loves Jesus. She loves church. She loves worshiping the Lord. She loves reading the Bible. She loves praying. And I'm learning so much. Parents, we learn a lot from our kids. Amen. It's that childlike faith that the Bible talks about. This little girl started our heart in this area of just orphans and caring for those who are without. And to make a long story short, after serving 9 years at my dad's church for doing the youth and worship, the Lord led us to take this giant step of faith to move to Mexico and start an orphanage. And we were there for 3 months in the summer, and then we came back for a couple months. That was when the Lord opened the doors to come up here and share with you all. I will say that since I was with you last, things have changed as they always do with the Lord. That always happens. And sometimes it's frustrating. Amen? I mean, let's just be honest. That verse that says, a man's heart plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. We always use that verse and we quote it, but how many of us really, really like that verse? We do in the end, but in the meantime, when it makes no sense or when you have everything lined up and it's as if the Lord just crumples up that piece of paper in that schedule and he just throws it away, but we know it's always for the better. It's always for something more that he wants to do. And I would encourage you, for those of you who aren't signed up for our blog, I would encourage you to go to the website. It's thehouseofblessing.org. Thehouseofblessing.org. And you can sign up for our blog. But you can go back and you can see some videos and you can see pictures and you can read stories of just what God has done over the last 9 months, really. So we moved down there. We weren't sure what we could do, how we could do it, if it was legal to do it, but it was just sort of, Lord, here we are, we're going, and hopefully you will work out everything else. The Lord has been faithful to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, right? That's what the Bible talks about. And so the next picture after this is what, when we bought property in September, we bought what we thought was about 25 acres for $18,000. That just continued to, as we looked to sign papers and whatnot, that just grew into 40 acres. Legally 40 acres. I mean, they just kept saying, oh, actually this part is yours, and actually this part is yours. So it was this massive apple orchard. So this is what, in September, this is what it looked like. And then the next picture, that is what it looks like now. That's a 7,300 square foot orphanage. And I look at that, even as I was getting that picture off my computer, I'm dumbfounded and I'm amazed at how amazing God is. The God who does wonders. The God who, as our brother prayed, the one who created the heavens and the earth and formed everything, and then he saved man, the best for last. And even when we blew it and we messed up, he created the most incredible way for redemption and salvation. And then through that, even in our continual faults and mistake, the Lord just continues to provide a way for us to have that incredible relationship with him. And so as we started building the property or building the facility on the property, and we've had teams that have come down, it's just been incredible to see how fast that this has gone up. And I was so grateful that the Lord led your guys' church to be a part of that. If there's anyone that can mobilize a team very fast, it is your pastor. And I think there's the team that came down. Look at all those good-looking people. Matt, that's the same outfit you're wearing. I'm just kidding. They came down, you know, I mean, I was up here in December, and they came down the end of March or so, end of March, beginning of April. We had planned things out. The plan was for them to come down and paint the orphanage. And many of you, for those of you that donated money or donated paint supplies, thank you for that. The Lord had something in that, in the sense of I actually missed the first half of the trip because my grandmother passed away. And I was really torn because I thought, of all the times this could happen, Lord, why now? Could you have just worked things out like a few days later or something? But it was the Lord's timing. And I had talked to Pastor Tom and talked to Matt, and it was just evident that I was to go be with my mom. It was the first time my four siblings and I were together in like 3 years or so. The Lord did a tremendous thing work through that time in Vegas. But what I was more blessed with was the caliber and just the integrity and the just how well that missions team did. It was the first time that there's been a missions team down there where I was not down there. And part of me, you know, you feel like you have to be down there to control things, but I didn't really have to do anything because God just worked and orchestrated everything out. And it was one of the most fruitful and productive, not because we got a lot of projects done. It was just uplifting and encouraging. And I hope when the team came home and they shared, if you were there, that it inspires you to want to come down. I met with Pastor Tom and a couple of the guys, and he was saying, you know, what's the next step? What do you see? What could we, you know, possibly do? And I said, well, since you asked, we're in need of a kitchen in the orphanage. Everything is up and running. In fact, the next picture, I think it's our last one, those are our lovely power lines that we have been waiting for months and months, and finally God delivered them. Aren't those beautiful? Seriously, I love those poles. One of our workers, in fact, when they were installing him, he grabbed one of those like retention lines and he was just swinging across. It was, I said, you probably shouldn't do that, you know, but that's what they do in Mexico. It might seem like a small thing. Some would look at those and say, well, they're just power lines and they're power poles. But literally, we had to wait and wait. The one thing you have to do in Mexico is you have to wait. And then you have to wait. And then when they tell you everything's ready, then you wait more. In fact, one of the last verses that we're going to talk about tonight in Psalm 27, before we go into a time of waiting on the Lord, I have learned what it means to wait and the fruit that can come as a result of waiting. And so it was looking like we were able to get literally the power is sort of the last thing that needs to take place before the building. We can open that up and in the water and in the septic tank and all that is up and running and functioning. But I got a call from my uncle. Every time he calls, I'm like, oh, what is this going to mean? And the government said they need some other form of document or whatnot. So that has delayed it even longer. And so I've learned to just say, Lord, it is in your hands. You know, whatever happens, I'm going to praise you. It's like that song we say, whatever may pass or whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. So I would like to tell you the go date and the start date and when the kids are going to come and everything, but I don't want to tell you that because I don't know. But in faith, we're praying and asking, Lord, by summer's end, will you hook up that power and then will you open those doors so that we can be able to fulfill James 1:27 of just ministering to kids, widows, whoever else you bring. But going back to the kitchen, we need to put in cabinets in an island and just sort of install the kitchen. And so I shared that with Tom, and Tom said, hey, we got people that know how to do that. And so we are praying on a possible trip or something in October-ish. So Tom wanted me to mention that just to you all. Number one, just for you to be praying, for you to join me and Pastor Tom as we're praying. And if the Lord is moving in that direction for another team to come down in October, that would be awesome. And I will say this, for those of you that are sitting here thinking, well, I don't know how to install a kitchen, you can still come down. Because we can use help with just anything. So think on that, pray on it. And I'm sure Tom and I will be in conversation with each other. And more importantly, we're just going to wait on the Lord and say, Lord, are you going to, is this a possibility? So that is sort of an update of what is going on. I think that's the last picture, right? Okay, you can pull those off. Thank you. So Psalm 27, Pastor Tom said that you guys have been studying through the Psalms, right? Or at least last week. How many weeks have you done it? One, two. This is the second? Sweet. Okay. So you're going to be studying through the Psalms on Wednesday nights. And so I asked him, there's a lot of Psalms, which ones have been covered. And Psalm 27 kept coming to my mind. It's one that I love. I've read it many times before. But in particular, it stood out to me this time, four things that I'd like to briefly just talk about. As it ties into what God has been teaching me and my family over the last, we moved down in January, so over the last 6 months of living down there, the things that have gone on, looking into the future of what's to come, when is the orphanage going to happen, all those unknowns, the Lord has greatly spoken to my heart this psalm in these 14 verses. And so I want to break it up into four different parts, four things, kind of practical things that I think we can glean from these that I believe that the Lord would have us to hear and know tonight, and that can sort of prepare us and lead us up to this time at the end of just worshiping and waiting on the Lord. The first thing we see is, look at verses 1 through 3. Psalm 27, verse 1 through 3. David writes, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat my flesh, my enemies and my foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident." This is a point of life. Obviously, if you know the history of David, he spent a lot of time in caves, under rocks, in the mountains, in the hills, in different places, hiding, fleeing for his life because of people that wanted to kill him. So if there was a man who ever had reason, a legitimate reason to be afraid, it would be David, right? If an army was camped against you, or if people wanted to come and eat up your flesh and kill you, I'd be afraid of that. But he declares, even before stating anything else, he declares the truth that God is his light, his salvation. What shall he be afraid of? God is his strength of his life. What shall he be afraid of? Fear is something that can easily cripple us. Amen? I'm not talking about just fear of the dark. I'm talking about just fear. It could be fear of failure. fear of taking steps of faith, fear of the unknown. It could be fear of how is God going to provide, fear of what's going to happen with my kids, fear of how is my marriage going to... I mean, fear is something, I think it's one of the biggest tools of the enemy to disable us, to get us worried, to get us afraid, so that we're not doing anything. That's why the Bible says that the Lord has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, sound mind, the ability to cross the Jordan like Joshua did. The ability to just step out in faith and do things for the Lord. Moving down to Mexico, that was a scary thing. Leaving your comfort zone and your family and your friends and your church and moving to a corrupt, drug-infested country, that's a bit of a scary thing. And there were some things that happened that caused me to be greatly afraid. Fearful. And I would check the locks on our door 3 or 4 times a night. I'd get up and it'd be so hot in our house, and Jackie would say, "Can we please open a window?" And I'd say, "No, it's too loud," or something outside. But I was scared. And I remember one time I thought, "Okay, Lord, if this is going to work..." Well, I said, "Lord, this isn't working right now. I'm afraid. I'm scared." I don't know what I was exactly scared of, but I knew that part of it was because of my wife's down there, my daughter. What if this? What if that? I just said, "Lord, this is what your word says, and I can't have this anymore. So will you take that from me?" And the Lord took that in a moment. And I praise him for that, because it allows me to walk and not be stupid, you know, not walk down random roads at night when you know it's a bad area. But I'm talking just walking in the confidence and the victory that the Lord is our light, the Lord is our strength, of whom shall we be afraid? We're trying to teach that to our daughter right now. Our bedtime process right now takes about 3 hours. "Daddy, I forgot to go potty. Daddy, I'm so thirsty. Daddy, you tell me 2 funny stories." And she's been saying, "Daddy, I'm afraid." And so I'd come in and I'd say, "Okay, sweetie, what are you afraid of?" "I'm afraid of my books." "Okay." And then 10 minutes later, "Daddy, I'm afraid. What are you afraid of?" "My dresser." It was like she was looking around, and I just said, "Sweetie, you're not afraid. There's nothing to be afraid of. You know why?" "Why, Daddy?" "Because angels are right here." You know, and you start telling that, and it's like, wow. We have nothing to be afraid of. We have nothing to be afraid of, because God is with us. And I love how David says, "In this I will be confident." And that leads into number 2. How is he going to be confident in this? Because it's easier said than done. Amen? You can't just say, "I'm not going to be afraid anymore." And then, you know, you've got to do some serious business. And you got to have that taken away. And for some people, it's a daily, "Lord, you've got to renew me in this." And look what he goes on to say in verse 4-6. He says, "In this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, and that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle. He shall set me high on upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing," yes, "I will sing praises to the Lord." So he starts out talking about how I'm not going to be afraid. And this is how I'm not going to be afraid. Because the one thing I desire and that which I seek is to dwell in the house of the Lord. Now listen, saints. He's not saying, "One thing I've desired, Lord, and that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord on Sunday mornings." Nor is he saying, "One thing I've desired, Lord, that will I seek, that I will dwell in the house of the Lord on Sundays and Wednesday nights." Or Sundays and Wednesdays in a discipleship group. Or Sundays and Wednesdays and a home fellowship. Or whatever it may be. Listen, One thing I have desired, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. You should underline that. You should circle that. You should highlight that, especially that word all the days of my life. David, what are you saying? I want to be with the Lord 24/7. And the mindset in Christianity today, both in America and in Mexico, is I go to church, I do my thing, and then I go home and I do my main thing. Right? I've been guilty of that. How many of us have been guilty of that? Maybe some of you, the Lord brought you here tonight because you needed to hear that because you're guilty of that. We are so blessed. One of the things I've learned in Mexico, we are so blessed in the States. I liken it to like the church Christian buffet. You can have anything you want, right? You can have church picnics. You could have Wednesday night service. You could have Sunday morning service. You could have home fellowships. You could have Bible studies, women's retreats, men's retreats, family camps, VBS, missions trips. And I'm not, those are all great things. But how many times do those sort of start fulfilling the role of our personal relationship with the Lord? I struggled with that when I worked at the church. It became a routine and business. I went from Sundays to Wednesdays, Wednesdays to Thursdays, Thursdays to Saturdays, Saturdays to Sunday morning. And I was wrestling this, Lord, why aren't I experiencing you in a way? Why aren't I, how come I can't behold your beauty? What, Lord, what's happening here? And I feel like God had to take me to Mexico and strip all of that away from us to reveal to us, this is what it means to dwell in the house of the Lord. It means that when there are no Bible studies, it means that when you sit through a church service and you have no idea what the pastor is saying, it means when there's no women's group, there's no small groups, there's no family camps, there's no men's retreats, there's no women's retreats, there's no coffee shops where you can go and sit for hours and talk about Jesus. There's none of that. So does that mean we just put the Lord on the shelf and we say, okay? No, it means you cling to the Lord more than ever before. David, hiding in those caves and those rocks, that was his dwelling in the house of the Lord. Listen, he wasn't racing to the next temple to run in and have his time with the Lord. He was having his time right there in that moment when he was probably the most afraid and most scared. So in our times, in our lives, when things don't make sense, when things are going good, when things are going bad, when Monday morning comes around and you wish it was the weekend because you could be back at church again, or you're only looking forward to the next night because that's the next Bible study, listen, the Lord wants to teach all of us that we can dwell with him every moment of every day. Do you know how powerful that is? Do you know how beautiful that is? One of the few religions that you can have access to your creator anytime you want. Saints, you understand that?
Hallelujah.
Amen. You're driving down the road on a beautiful day like this. The Northwest is beautiful. I forgot how beautiful it is. Driving up here and it's sunny and it's beautiful and you see the mountains and you see what's that lake that you see on the left-hand side when you're driving? Beautiful water glistening. That's an opportunity to dwell in the house of the Lord. Amen? Amen. To behold his beauty. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows his handiwork too. And so the Lord is saying to me and my wife in this sort of this transitional time while we're down there, as we're trying to learn the language, as we're trying to cling on to him and grow in our relationships with him, we're learning to dwell in the house of the Lord. And you know what? He is revealing his beauty to us in ways that I've never seen before. So what does that mean for us here? It means that you've got to pray and you've got to seek the Lord to say, God, draw me to a place to want you all the time. The advantage of Mexico is you just don't have, so you have to do it. Otherwise, you will spiritually starve to death. And I'm not saying here that you should just quit going on Sundays and Wednesdays and stay in your house to dwell in the house of the Lord. I'm just saying you kick in the high gear, You get involved in church, you get serving, you come as often as you can. And then when you leave in church, you're praising God because of what took place. And then you're waking up in the morning looking forward to what's going to take place. And it's that idea of, I will delight in the law of the Lord. I will meditate day and night. So dwelling in the house of the Lord, beholding his beauty. I also love how it says, and to inquire in his temple. Talking with God. Lord, I'm struggling. Lord, I'm hurting. Lord, I'm rejoicing. Lord, I'm thankful. Lord, I'm depressed. Lord, I'm discouraged. Lord, I'm happy. Lord, I'm confused. Whatever it is, just inquiring him, seeking him, pursuing him. And saints, I guarantee you, when you start cultivating that outside of corporate worship on Sunday and Wednesday, it will make these times all the more refreshing. Amen? Because then it's not just coming to church because you have to. It's because you get to. And then you get to come in with other believers where you can stand and you can sing and you can lift your hands and you can proclaim how amazing God is. And then you can go out and then you can go home. And it's just this beautiful, beautiful cycle of dwelling in the house of the Lord. And notice it says all the days of my life. That's until we go home to be with the Lord. You know, there's often talks of, when do pastors retire? You don't retire. We don't retire. We pray that we can say what Paul said. I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I kept the faith. So that we can hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. Amen? Okay, look at verse 7. 7 through 10. So we talked about, we have nothing to be afraid of. What it means to dwell in the house of the Lord. Number 3. Verse 7, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, Lord, your face I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. For when my mother and my father forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. David is saying, Lord, you said this, so you better come through. You said, Lord, seek my face. And my heart said to you, Lord, your face I will seek. And he's saying, Lord, don't hide from me. I'm seeking you. I'm pursuing you. And you have to be faithful, Lord, to reveal yourself to me. Amen? Saints, it's one thing to take these verses and say these are wonderful verses and quote them and put them up on, you know, stickers and whatnot. It's another thing to pray them and believe them and to live them. That's one thing I'm learning. Lord, your word says you will provide my needs. I am asking you, God, because you don't lie, your truth. I am asking you, provide my needs. There's nothing wrong with getting down to business with the Lord. Amen? That's what made these guys awesome. They just were straight up with the Lord. Lord, you said this, so you're going to do that. So when people say to me, well, when are you guys going to open? When are you going to get orphans? And I can say, I'm not sure. But I know that pure and undefiled religion is to care for orphans. I know what it says about God's heart for the fatherless and for the widows. And so in accordance with his word, I say, Lord, you got to do it. You're going to do it. Amen? Amen. He's going to do it. And I can't wait for you all to see and experience what that looks like. And verse 10, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. That's like, that describes all the tens of thousands of dollars that have been spent and the teams that have come in so that we can, through the Lord, be able to take care of those who my mother and father have forsaken. We had a lady come and she said, she drove 45 minutes. And she said, I heard that you guys are starting an orphanage. I have an 8-year-old son. I don't want him anymore. He's a hassle. He's too much for us to handle. She showed up at my aunt's house. I wasn't there. It was just her and her boyfriend. I don't know what number he was, not even the kid's dad. And he was kind of shaking his head the whole time like, we don't want this kid. I mean, imagine that. Just showing up at the doorstep with a knock on the door. This one of God's beautiful creations is an irritant to me. Tired of him. Can you guys take him? And so my aunt explained to her kind of where we're at. She took her phone number. She shared it with me. I thought, wow, it's about to get real up in here. You know, what are we going to do? And I talked with Jackie. We tried to get a hold of this lady. We can't get a hold of her. And I've got to just say, okay, Lord, you're in control. But God, would you just protect that little boy wherever he is? Would you watch over him? Would you protect him? And Lord, will you please hook up that stinking power so that we could call that lady again or find her and say, listen, we will take him. But more importantly, it's the Lord. When my mother and father forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. How many of you have come from broken homes or divorced parents? Raise your hand. I have two. My mom had an affair with a senior pastor when I was 16 years old. He was my dad's boss, and she bounced. They're remarried. It's been a lot of years. By the grace of God, the Lord's doing some healing. He's restoring relationship with my mom. But my mom forsake me. And in that moment, the only thing you have, although my dad was there and the church was there, but even more so, the Lord was there. You know, a lot of people, when we're telling people about the orphanage, a lot of secular people, you know, anytime you say the word orphan, that's sort of a trigger word that just gets everybody excited, right? Everybody wants to care for orphans, and which is a good thing, but a lot of times people are just doing it with the wrong motives. So as people are saying, for instance, I was at the Woods coffee shop, and I went to pulled out my money, and some pesos fell out, and I didn't think they'd take pesos, so I had to grab the American bill. I wished to take pesos, a lot cheaper. And she said, oh, what kind of money is that? And then started asking questions, and it sounded like she was a believer. In fact, she knows Carly. I guess one of them worked with you. And I said, you know, I'm sharing at the church. But they were just asking, and they were saying, oh, that is so awesome. We'll be praying for you. And that's what happens when you tell people what you're doing. But listen, yes, we're sort of the ones that are going down there to kind of get the ball rolling, but it's only under the direction and the care of the Lord. Ultimately, he can care for those kids in a way that we never can. Amen? Just as he can care for us in a way that nobody else can. My wife, if you think about it, my wife is Jackie. She could use your prayers, especially you ladies. Ladies, imagine if your husband came home and said, hey, we're moving to Mexico. She obviously felt the Lord calling us there, but guys and gals are different, amen? We're wired differently. I can go to the orphanage and work on all the projects, and she's at home and doing her routine, and she's away from her girlfriends, and she's away from that fellowship, and so it's been hard for her. But the beauty in that is the things that the Lord is revealing to her, hey, I'm going to take care of you. I want to be that for you right now. And it's a powerful thing when we allow the Lord to do that. And then finally, the fourth thing we see, verses 11 through 14. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a smooth path. Doesn't always seem smooth, does it? But nevertheless, David says, Lord, lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me in the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless, you should underline that or circle that, unless I had believed, circle or underline that, that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. These are some key verses here. He is saying, I would have lost heart unless God revealed himself. It doesn't say that. Instead, it says, unless I had believed that I would see. In other words, he's saying, I was about to lose heart, not until I saw God, but until I came to the conclusion that I will believe that I would see the goodness of the Lord. You see how that's key there? It's much easier for us to say, oh man, I'm not losing heart because I can see the end result. But it's one thing when you can't see the end result at all, but to be able to say, I'm not losing heart. Why? Because I am believing that at the end of this road, I'm going to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Those power lines have been a blessing in my life. I was losing heart. I was discouraged. I thought, how long does it take? You know, in the States, we open up a phone book and we call one of the 30 electricians that are in there to get the bid, the free estimate, and then we can pick that one. They'll come out to your house. They'll do free estimates because they want your business. In Mexico, they don't care. Seriously. There's one electrical company in all of Mexico. Mexico is they have a lot of monopolies in Mexico. So there is no other electrical company. So when they say, well, we'll be out there. You know how, okay, remember the days when you're installing like Comcast or internet and they're like, we will show up tomorrow between the hours of 8 and 12, right? That's always a drag because it's like, okay, 4 hours, when are you going to come? Could you give me, you know, you always try to say, could you tell me a little bit when you're coming? Imagine someone calling, we're going to show up between tomorrow and 4 months down the line. It's basically what it feels like in Mexico. And so I thought, Lord, I am losing it. I am so tired of someone just saying, would someone just tell me they're not going to come out? I would be better if they would say, you know what, we are booked until December. I can deal with that. But this whole next week, the week after, the next day, at such and such a time, that is just like, that's why I'm going gray. I'm 33, and I'm more gray than I was here in December because it's stressful. And so I was on the property one day, and I go for prayer walks on it, and I was walking, and I was praying, and then I look, and I saw this little white truck coming. It was like the little white truck of hope. And it was the truck of the guy that's doing the electrical. And he said, we got the approval. We're going to start. He said the next day, but it was like 3 days later. But I can take that. And when I saw that first post go in, seriously, we were rejoicing. And that might seem lame, but I was just rejoicing. Why? Because God was faithful. And so now, as we're waiting again for the government to approve the actual hookup to the line, I'm not losing heart. Because I'm believing I'm going to see the goodness of the Lord. And that day when I flip on that light switch, oh my gosh, I'll film it for you all. I will probably be jumping up and down, rolling around, running through the orphanage, screaming, we have power. But shouldn't it be that way in everything in our life? Just, Lord, I'm trusting you. And when he comes through, not just candidly saying, oh, sweet, but God, thank you. Thank you for providing that job. Thank you for providing those school supplies. Thank you for the kids and whoever brought those. Those are going to bless kids in Mexico. And then finally, verse 14. And this is going to lead us into our time. In fact, if the worship team, you guys want to come up? One of my most favorite verses, but also one of the most difficult verses. Psalm 27:14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. There's not one person in here, unless you're lying, that just loves waiting. Actually, I shouldn't say this. Unless you're waiting Black Friday, you know, on one of those lines or something. We don't mind waiting, right? People will wait for the dumbest things. They'll stand in line. You know, the reporters, didn't they wait for a month or so with the whole royal family kid thing? We can wait for hours and hours for this and that, but we can't wait on the Lord for this or that. And listen, waiting on the Lord, it's a developing process. Okay, I think it's, you know, the work out your salvation with fear and trembling. I think waiting on the Lord is something that we have to cultivate for the rest of our life. Because there are times in our lives where things will make no sense. Amen? And there's no explanation. And all it causes you to do as you're dwelling in the house of the Lord is you have to wait. And this idea in verse 14 with this word wait, it's wait in faith. It's this, I'm believing, Lord, that I'm going to see it, and so I'm waiting. I'm waiting for the Lord to open the orphanage and to bring kids. And I got to know and believe and just trust that if the orphanage opens and for whatever reason we wait for however many months because God is doing something over here that we don't know, to do something better here, I've got to know, Lord, I'm going to wait on you. And check this out. During the time of waiting, we're not to be discouraged. We're not to grumble. We're not to complain. We're not to whine. We are to be of what? Of good courage. David, you're asking a lot from us here. First of all, you're telling us to wait on the Lord. And now you're telling us while we wait, we have to be of good courage. I mean, you know, how are things going? Good, just waiting on the Lord. Hallelujah. Love waiting on the Lord. But there's this attitude in the mindset of, Lord, while I'm waiting, I am going to be of good courage, and you are going to strengthen my heart. You see the order here? We wait, and we wait. While we wait, we can be of good courage. Why? Because God strengthens our hearts. Amen? Waiting brings us closer to Jesus. And when you grasp that, then you'll never complain about waiting again. Although it'll really revolutionize things for you. It might be hard still. It might be difficult. But you'll understand, okay, Lord, while I'm waiting, I can be strengthened. I can be encouraged. I can be taught. I can be filled. I can be ministered to. I can be sharpened. I can be broken down to be molded and shaped into a better person for that thing that I'm waiting for. And then David concludes. He says, wait, I say, on the Lord. So saints, tonight, the Lord has brought us here for a reason. The Lord worked out the timing of things, me being here, because he has something for all of us here, myself included. Number one, maybe some of you, there's something you're fearful of tonight. And it could be crippling you right now. And I would encourage you, are we going to have some guys that can pray? People, Tom. I would encourage you as we worship in the next 20 minutes, that if that's you, that you would boldly get out of your seat and just come forward. Listen, the awkward time, these times are never awkward. We make it awkward, right? What if someone sees me? He just talked about fear. That means people will know I'm afraid. Who cares, okay? The worst thing would be that you don't seize the opportunity to come up and get prayer. I have no problem asking for people to pray for me. I have no problem saying, please pray for my wife. I have gotten over that kind of that spiritual pride and just saying, saints, we're the body of Christ. Amen. We are brothers and sisters. We're called to pray for each other. We're called to encourage each other. We're called to bear one another's burdens. We're called to wipe tears from each other, you know, to be there for one another. And that's what these opportunities are about. Not to try to fabricate something, but just to let the Lord do what he has spoken through his word. The second thing, maybe some of you, you're just dwelling in the house of the Lord on Sundays and Wednesdays. And if that's you, then I would invite you to come up and to get prayer. Maybe some of you, I don't know how to dwell in the house of the Lord on a daily basis. Well, come forward so we can pray for you. Not that we have the answers, but we'll pray together to say, Lord, will you help us all to dwell in the house of the Lord? Number three, maybe some of you feel like the Lord isn't taking care of you. Maybe you feel abandoned. Maybe you feel like an orphan. Lord, where are you? I haven't felt you in a while. I haven't heard from you in a while. I haven't experienced you in a while. Well, you know what? I have good news for you. He's right here, and he's ready right now to take care of you. So whatever that might look like, you too, you can come forward and to be prayed for. And then finally, if you're losing heart, or if you're struggling with waiting, or if you don't know what the Lord is doing in your life, and you need just some encouragement in that, then you come forward for that. And again, I want to implore you, don't be afraid to come forward. Don't be afraid to let other people see that you're hurting. Don't be afraid to be a little vulnerable so that God can do that greater work.